We are Brightside.
How you doing, DJ? How's everything going?
Good. Yeah, you like that? That's like we haven't talked yet. Tom loves that. Oh man.
Yeah,
like I haven't already been talking to you. Oh, but literally we didn't even get a lot of time to chat before we hit record at all, because I mean things running behind as always. So yeah. How you been? You had a bout with COVID.
Yeah. Feeling better? Man. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm still a little bit, you know, still got a little bit of a cough, but it hit me. It's the only time I've ever gotten it, you know, since.
Really?
Yeah. I only, this first time and it hit me pretty bad, you know. It was a busy show that I had right before it. I was doing a show in New York and it was quite busy with a lot of people. And yeah. I think that's how I got hit, you know, with the
That'll
COVID.
Do it. Yeah. That's how most illnesses are passed in groups of people.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, so it was a pain because my wife ended up getting it also. And so we were both home for the holidays, except, you know.
Not in a good way, right?
Yeah.
It's nice
to
be home and relaxed for the holidays, but not when you're like forced to lay in bed.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, could have been worse, I guess. So.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Glad you're feeling better.
Oh, thanks, man. How are you doing? How's everything?
Good. Things are moving.
How's the house coming along? I haven't heard much about it. You know?
Yeah, not much. It's just starting to get going again.
Oh, okay.
Just starting to get going again. Like I said, by the time this goes out, septic should be done. Hopefully, electric will be either connected to the house or literally the day this comes out, maybe electric will be getting connected to the house. So I'll have permanent power. Right. Which will be nice. That's like huge. So yeah, and then from there on out, I'm like, I don't know. I've said this. I literally just said it today to somebody. I was like, I think I'm just going to call for an inspection because I'm so close to getting my rough inspection. I've had a few of them already done and completed, but I need electric rough. I need the construction rough. I think that's it. I think HVAC's been done and plumbing's been done. But I'm just going to call for it and know I'm going to fail, but they'll give me the checklist. And now I'm off and right. You know what I mean? Right now.
Then you can take it from there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just spinning my wheels right now because I don't want to fail. he even told me the building inspector, the building commissioner is he's really cool, but he's been helping me all along. And they said, if you fail something seven times, then we'll charge you again. Because it's all paid for you. It's in your, you know, in getting the permits and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, oh no, I don't fail. I'm going to make it because I want everything to the letter. Right. I'm like, I'm going to make it. Yeah. And so I'm afraid to fail, but I was like, it just dawned on me the other day. Cause I'm like, what do I do? I forget. Cause it's been so long. Cause I had such a rhythm going.
Right.
And now with the delays and everything, I'm like, where do I leave off? What do I got to fix? What do I got to do? And I'd rather be like, wait a minute. Just dawned on me this week. I'm like, why don't I just call for an inspection? And then they'd be like, fail. Good. Checklist. Here you go. Thank you. Yeah. I'll get that all done and call you back. There you go. So I'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Cause it's all little crap.
Yeah.
You know, little, oh, you need this here. You need this. So
yeah, it was amazing when I moved here from New York, remember I had to get the basement on the Hope Theater.
Yeah.
And it was amazing the amount of inspections that had to be done just for this little room, you know? Yeah. So I couldn't imagine a whole house, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Everything has got to be checked and double checked and this, that, you know, they cut even just for the septic. It's like, they got to come out and there's inspect the hole. Okay. Now you can put the tank in and put these things in. Okay. Now we got to inspect that. Now you can backfill. Oh, okay. And then we got to come. It's everything.
Wow. That's insane. Well, I gotta give it to you for all that because man, it ain't easy.
No, man, that's why I was like, I'll never do it again. Oh no, Devin, never do it. Everybody says they do something like this, they'll never do it again. I'm like, yep, that's why.
So, yeah. I could never even imagine, you know, to take upon such a task like that. You know, that's something I definitely won't be able to do, especially now. But when I was younger, I might have.
Yeah. It's not bad when you take it like anything else. Like I've said to people with their home theaters and you built, and like when you built your home theater, mm-hmm. it's like, if you look at like the end product and you're like, it's going to take forever to get there. Well, yeah, if you keep looking forward to the end part, but mm-hmm. step one, and then do that, and then do the next, and then just keep going. And then next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'm there, or I'm almost, you know, it's like, but you get that analysis paralysis, you know, of just being like, oh, I've got to do so much, and you never do anything.
Right. You have to do that, like you said, like it's steps, you know?
Yeah. And like right now, if I could, just the way it's gone and how stressful it became, it's like if I had the money, I'd hire somebody just to tell me what to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not do work. I can do the work. Just be like
a guy.
Just take my brain out of it, please. Yeah. And just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And then, and that's what made me think. I'm like, wait a minute. The town's got the building commissioner. I'm like, he'll tell me what to do.
Yeah.
He'll be like, this is wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll fix it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was watching, Youth Man, yesterday. Yep. And I think he's buying a new home.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, right? I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen saw that, it. You know, and, but I think it's in a development over in Florida, which is good. Yep. They'll do all the work though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know he's been saying for a while, like he wants a completely different type of theater, similar to what I'm building, where he can actually do, cause he does demos and stuff. He demos a ton of stuff, but he wants to be able to have his theater up and running. And still be able to do, like, set up a demo without having to tear his theater apart. His existing theater is too small for that.
Right.
So he wants to do it so, like, he can actually set up other stuff. But even, like, you know, you bring in another set of speakers and you might be in the middle of setting them up and you're like, you know what? I want to stop right now and watch a movie. So you can do that.
Right.
Because he has enough space. They'd be like, oh, just leave everything out and I'll do this. And that, like, my new one's going to be like that if I wanted to.
Right.
That's more for future proof than it is for demoing, but. Right. Demoing equipment, but yeah, so he's been talking about that for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what he comes up with.
Yeah. The room size is very similar to all the rooms that are kind of built that, you know, like 15 by 20, 13 by 20, you know, that size. You know, looks like he's going to use an existing bedroom that he has upstairs or a media room, you know?
Yeah.
It was a nice size, you know?
Yeah.
I think he's going to be able to separate his equipment from the theater room, which is something something that he wanted to do, you know?
Yeah. That's big because for heat purposes, sound purposes, and demoing purposes, right? Like you got to put something else into a rack. You can, you know, if you had a media room like you do, you could have a whole other rack for demoing. You could set up a whole other rack and just be like, oh, I gotta, like, if you were gonna do something like what he does.
Right.
Which, you know, when I first get in, I'll have my rack. But if I ever wanted to get into something like that, you just set up another rack that you'd be like, whoop, plug and play and just swap it. Boom, bang, boom. It's real easy to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to have the space to do it.
The space.
You know, and you don't want to do that inside a theater.
Right.
You know,
right. Yep. So, and, I also saw a video actually about a day ago too. I see that this is a thing with projectors now that I'm thinking, man, you know, people are going to start getting away from projectors. They're making they have a 115 inch panel from TCL, a mini LED.
Yeah.
That's the size of my screen.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's so nice. It's,
you know,
there's something though, like I've said before, like when I have Giles on and we bust each other on it, it's like, I still like having that light being thrown from behind me.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and it's like that's part of the atmosphere, the ambience of the room, right? And it's like, yeah, you can have a panel and maybe it's going to be better, but I'm seeing like, I don't know if you heard all of yesterday's show, the live show, and I'm like, I'm getting so, and you have the same system for all intents and purposes. Your projector does better blacks than mine, but for all intents and purposes, we have kind of the same system. Mm-hmm. And it's like these latest updates and everything, the HDR is getting closer and closer to what like an OLED is. I'm not saying it's there,
right,
but it is really good from a projector. Who knows what it's going to be 5 years from now?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. More brain power might help. Better projector technology might help.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at, you're still going to be spending crazy money to get 120, 130, 150 inch screens. Yeah. So you still need a projector and you still need that technology advancing. So.
Right. That's why a lot of people, I think you included, are looking into getting a much bigger screen.
Yeah.
At this point, because you can get 115 inch panel. So it's like, you might as well go bigger, you know?
Yeah.
There's improvements, I think, when you get a little closer to the screen and, then being so far back, but, one outweighs the other all the time. So it's like, you know, you got to pick your poison. You know, you want a brighter, smaller image, you know?
Right.
Or you want to go further back and get a bigger image, you know? So.
Well, it depends on the seating size too. Like,
and if you're, projector, yeah.
Yeah. Like in your room, do you have two rows now? You have two rows. You built but you don't really need it, right?
No.
You did it because you wanted it. Your primary seating position is the front seat.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you could do, like you said, you're at 115. It's like at that size, even like I'm going to a 150. Or between 145, 150, whatever works best and is the most, economical.
Right.
Right. Like sometimes it'd be like, well, I wanted a 146 and like if I end up, talking to Chris and being like, well, we have this. This is just stamped out. You know what I mean? It's not a custom screen, but you're at 149. Be like, okay, I'll get that one. Whatever's cheaper. It's like sometimes if you try to get the actual number, it's a custom cut and that costs more money.
Right.
Exactly. But regardless, right? That size, I'm going to that size because I'm going to be sitting further away and my room is bigger. It's like, it's seating more people supposedly more often, but the experience from the seat's going to be the same as yours.
Right.
It's, you're not talking like if you do a 70 inch screen and you have to sit like 7 feet away from it, that's a noticeable difference. That's where you're like, okay, now I know I'm scooched close to this thing. Mm-hmm. Right. But when you're sitting your distance away from 150, you're like 10 feet away from 115 inch screen. Mm-hmm. That's a good enough distance. You're getting that theater experience and everything. You know, that's comparable to I'm at 150 inches at 15 feet away. It's the same thing.
Right.
You're like, okay, it's like the details look the same. Everything looks the same. And it's like, that's where it's like the only reason you need bigger is if you're trying to accommodate more people in a larger room. Once you get into that size.
Yeah.
And or ego, which I play a part of that too. It's like, I love this. I'm getting 150 inch screen. That's awesome. Yay. That's fun too.
Yeah.
But if I had my choice, I would have done a smaller room with a smaller screen.
Right.
I do have my choice, but it's not just my decision.
Right. Are you planning to do, more than two rows of seating or just two?
Well, it'll be two rows of seating with the bar area behind that. So it'll be two rows of theater seating and then bar stools behind the bar area, which will be right behind the second row.
Oh, okay.
Right. So first row is on the floor. Second row is two-step riser. Mm-hmm. Third row is on the floor, but it's a bar stool. So you're sitting
up a little higher.
Your heads are above the head, you know, so it would be like three stadium seats.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, but that would be more for like Super Bowls or sporting events, having the buddies over watching football or something, you know, where you get a bunch of people in there.
Yeah.
And,
well, you definitely have the room for all that now with that size of that basement.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Make that whole big living, that whole space down there is going to be for stuff like that.
Yeah. That'll
which be will
awesome.
Be fun.
Yeah,
that'll be awesome. If I have any friends left after this project.
Oh my God. Let me tell you something. Like, I made the second row, you know, I think last year or a little bit past last year. And those seats are brand new back there. They've never been used, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, you know, my wife's like, I want more seats for grandchildren and stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, I get, yeah, great. Okay. Mm-hmm. But all right. Let's do it, but I know it's still going to be me. And I always like the second row anyways. I always know I'm getting two rows and I'm always sitting in the second row. So it's all it is. It was width for me was the difference. I always had this plan. It wasn't necessarily this wide.
Yeah.
So, but it was always going to be pretty much this length, right, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. this hobby, right? We love it, you know?
Yeah, love it and make the best of it. And you and I, guys like you and I have been doing it, making the best of it since we were like using like freaking, you know, bubble gum and duct tape to hold the things on the wall.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, oh, this speaker does that. And it's, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Fun seeing what you can do.
Yeah. And, what was it? I was going to say that, the other day I was watching, Wicked on the Kaleidoscape. And I remember I saw it in a theater and I saw an IMAX presentation of that film.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I remember the colors being a little stronger in the movie theater. I don't know. I mean.
Really?
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I saw it in a really good IMAX theater, I guess.
Okay.
So the presentation was really excellent. Not that the Kaleidoscape looks bad or anything. It's just has like a different type of, like, I feel like the colors could be a little bit better, you know, and the blacks could be a little deeper, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't watched the whole thing through. I've watched probably the first half hour or so and I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it in IMAX though. I thought it was better than what I had at the theater. I saw it at Showcase X Plus.
Right.
And I'm wondering, I'm kind of wondering if IMAX had their settings to vibrant.
Yeah. My wife said.
Which actually plays to that movie. Right,
right.
You could do that and be like, that's fantastic. And then you get it home and go, well, this is what they intended?
Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah. My wife says, you're crazy. It's way better home. And I'm like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's just something I noticed, you know? My cousin, finally decided to do a Kaleidoscape.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Finally.
He was like, no, it's too much, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, well, let me try a straddle V. And I said, well, do this. I said, then buy the straddle V and wait on the hard drive. Cause you'll get the experience. Oh, yeah. Right. So he goes to Value Electronics in Scarsdale.
Yeah.
And they just happen to have a sale on the Kaleidoscape with the hard drive, an 18 gig hard drive.
Oh,
which I don't think they make anymore. I think it was like
they had some old some stock.
Extras from, and he got a hell of a deal on it. So it was like, oh, well, I guess you get the hard drive. Like, why not? So now he's home and he's downloading his movies and he's going through some of them and he sees definitely improvements on the Kaleidoscape now. And then he sees some that are not quite as good, you know, and there's always that, you know, that the disc might look a little bit better or vice versa with the Kaleidoscape, but he's super happy with it. He's like,
oh yeah,
you know, the convenience factor of just being able to hit a button, the downloads, you know, that the 2 gig one, there's a 2 gig, hard drive that it downloads within like 5 minutes.
The 2 gig not the hard drive, the 2 gig, it's a 2 gig, download speed.
Yeah, the download speed. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could, that's the Terra, that's
the Terra Prime.
That's the,
is it?
The, my ear. Oh, there we go.
Uh huh.
Nothing. My headphones just had, like, all the sound went out, including my own voice.
Oh.
It was just my headphone jack.
Okay.
That's the
Terra Prime.
Prime. All the stuff that's the black hard drives.
Yeah.
And the Strata V. All of that stuff that it's capable of. If you have a 2.5 gig connection to the internet, you'll get these movies in like 4 minutes.
That's amazing, right?
Isn't it?
I'm saying to myself, man.
Cause you remember the dreaming of, days.
Yeah. I'm remembering dreaming of this stuff back in the day when I had LaserDisc, you know, imagine you could do something like that. And then we got internet and it was just dial up speeds, right? Like,
oh my God.
Right. And it's like, man, and they were talking about it back then, you know, when internet first started. And
well, remember Napster? You'd be like, all right, I can get like, you know, Van Halen and, you know,
right.
Get 1980, get, you know, Jump. Oh, this, I could download Jump in 25 minutes. It'd be like, that's the, and remember Napster, you'd see all the people had song you wanted, and be like, you know, be like, all right, I want Soundgarden. All right. What am I going to get? All of these different, this guy has a best connection. I can get his in 22 minutes.
Right.
And you'd download it at like the 19 minute mark. He'd shut his computer off. Remember that? You'd be like,
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah. And that was like a single song would take us half hour, 40 minutes. And right. Now we're doing entire like 80 gigabyte movies in 4 minutes.
Right.
Like it's unbelievable crazy
to me. Yeah. And he, and now he's understanding, you know, why I was so excited in the beginning for it, you know, cause the improvements, they're not all the time, but the majority of the time, the Kaleidoscape image is going to be superior. But the download speed, he has only 500 gigs and he ordered the whole James Bond collection. They had like a sale, right?
Yeah.
On the holidays. So he got it and he hit the download in the evening, and in the morning when he got up, everything was there.
It was there. Yeah. Oh yeah, at 500, you're gonna get them in probably 18 minutes each.
Right, exactly.
Roughly
18 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's not bad. If you want it instantly, it's gonna take you. You know, if I have the gig speed, it'll take me. You know, 12.
Right.
You know, around 12 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen them as fast as eight minutes.
Yeah, depending on the length of the movie and the size of the file, but it's like. And that's not bad. That's not bad. That's most of the time great. Now, especially now when you've had your system long enough, it's like, how often are you downloading something like for the moment?
Right.
It's usually like you see something coming out or you're out on the road. You know, I'm at work and I'll be like, oh, such and such just came out. Like Con Air came out this week. I wasn't even home. I just buy it and download it right away.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise if I don't make it download right away, it automatically tries. It'll just go to the night. That way it doesn't tax my system.
Right.
And mine's set up to wide open. It'll go to 1,000, which will hog the entire house.
Yeah, it'll hog it up. See, it's only my wife and I, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
So usually when I do that, she's still okay with the TV upstairs because everything that we do is streamed now, even the DirecTV. So
same here.
Yeah. But it's exciting. It's an exciting time right now. I mean, I'm still buying my disc, you know, because there's a,
are you a lot of them, or do you just get collectors?
No, I not everything, which is good. That's another thing that I told my cousin about the Kaleidoscape. It's like, you know what? If you're unsure of a title, just buy it on the Kaleidoscape. Enjoy it early because usually you get it early. Watch the movie, and if it's something that you really, really need to own, then just buy the disc. I mean, and that's that. But the majority of the time, I tell you what, I find myself watching things on the Kaleidoscape and it stops there. I don't buy the disc unless it's something special that I really want.
I know. Yeah, exactly. No. Like I bought Maverick box set. The only time I buy a disc is if it's not on Kaleidoscape.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I just purchased the Godzilla movie, the Godzilla -1.
-1. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? You just got it? And you haven't watched it yet?
No, I saw it already. I saw it. Oh, yeah.
The disc. It's awesome. It's
awesome. Yeah.
And it's insane.
Yeah. And it's nice to get the English subtitles and everything, you know, so you could watch it in the right language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Watch it in Atmos. And it's one of the best tracks of the year for home theater.
Yeah. So, and I picked up some of the steel books. I just ordered the Kill Bill movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
those are coming soon. They're coming on Kaleidoscape too.
Yeah, they should be out about the same time. And you mentioned yesterday when we talked about a little bit about Con Air.
Yeah.
I was so happy because that's a silly movie, but that's one of my favorites.
Isn't it? You know what? Another one like that is a silly movie, and it's one of my favorites. Maybe more so than Con Air, but it's another Nicolas Cage. Snake Eyes.
Oh, okay.
The one in the storm outside and the boxing match and Gary Sinise, the whole, you know, I love that movie. I just think it's just, I don't know why. It's just like Con Air. It's just ridiculous and just fun. And I don't know if it's as much a home theater movie.
Yeah.
I'll have to see. Hopefully that one comes out soon. But Snake Eyes is so much fun.
Right, right. And I can't believe they did the Atmos on Con Air too. They added Atmos.
Yeah.
Which is
have good. You seen it yet?
I haven't. I saw a bit in the beginning, and you know it looks good. I mean, all the has a little bit of the noise in the image.
Yeah,
but
the grain.
Yeah, the grain. You know, but it looks sharp. It looked very good. What I saw so far on it.
Yeah,
it looks.
Yeah, it is. Good. It's it's more of the. You know, the contrast is really good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's pristine, but I don't think you want that pristine.
Right,
it just looks really good.
Yeah.
But the colors and like I said, like the Vegas landing, crash landing.
Yeah.
That all looks good. That, yeah. Oh yeah. Looks really good. Like almost too good. Like it's like you should like, all right, maybe we shouldn't have done such a good job. Cause the plane, you're like, that shouldn't be, that does not look like that plane is there at all. Like it's like, yeah, really bad rendering. Like a shadow that's supposed to be under it or something.
But. Yeah. So that's good because a few of my other favorites, like The Rock, which is good. That should be coming in Armageddon. And, another one that I would love to see is Tombstone on 4K.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been talking about that's, oh my God.
Right.
Yeah. We've been talking about that one for forever.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to come out over a year ago.
Yeah.
Not this past Christmas. The Christmas before was the 30th anniversary of it.
Oh.
And that's when I thought it was going to come out. And yeah, that, and jeez.
Yeah.
That's got to go to the top of the list of one of the ones that needs to be done. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got, I hear that Last of the Mohegans is going to be released soon too. And they're doing the Sean Connery collection on disc as well. Which is good. So there's future. So there's still a future for disc. I think we'll still see some more for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on those special ones, I would buy like the Bond movies for sure. I would get those on disc as well.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm so like the only way I don't buy it. Oh, the way I want to buy it is if it's an absolute collector's edition, something that I just want to display or it's not on Kaleidoscape.
Right.
Right. In 4K. Yeah. Right. Like if I have it on Kaleidoscape HD in 4K, like Demolition Man, I just bought.
Oh yeah. Cause that's on. You know, and I saw that they have Kaleidoscape does have Arrow movies on there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They have an agreement with them. It just takes time. It takes a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I'm sure we'll
probably
see.
Probably because like, you know, they want to sell their versions first and they know collectors like you and I will be like, all right, I'll buy it now. And then if it comes on, cause that's the same thing, like Demolition, it could drop tomorrow on Kaleidoscape and I'll buy it again because now I don't want to have to put the disc in.
Right. Right.
I will if I have to.
It's funny how we've gone, right? Like,
oh yeah. So spoiled.
Oh, so spoiled.
It's like people say that to me, like, oh my God, you are so spoiled. I'm like, yup. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, that's kind of a purpose. It's like,
so funny. Like, how are you liking the Strato V so far?
I like it. I like it. I like the addition of the capability of Dolby Vision. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, it's interesting that it went hand in hand with Lumigen getting the capability of Dolby Vision, right? Because which, I mean, Jim worked with them.
Yeah.
He worked with Kaleidoscape for it. And so it's like, I guess, you know, I didn't even think that would be possible, but I guess it's just numbers. That's what Jim says anyways, right? So it's like, it's just dumb on me for thinking it wouldn't be possible, but I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, being able to, for people like us and all the years that people would talk about, when a projector is going to get Dolby Vision, when are they going to, well, now they can have it.
Yeah.
And we're getting it. It's like, are you running Dolby Vision or did you do a lot of comparisons? Are you enjoying it? Because I know some people don't like it.
Yeah. I've done comparisons. Chris is one of the ones who says it's not really worth it not to bother with it.
Yeah. But,
you know, Johnny Focal, you know, your guy.
Yeah.
He seems to think that it's great. And I got to agree with John. I think some titles it's less visible. But, you know, what I always go back to, right? It's always Star Wars, and and it looks better in Dolby Vision on the projector.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little, you know, a little brighter, you know.
The brights are brighter and the dark stay dark.
Dark, yeah. And I think the Kaleidoscape also has improvements in image quality over the Strato S that I had.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that looks better too. So
the reason I'm leaning towards it, and I'm not smart enough to regurgitate the information correctly. John's explained it to me. Jim's explained it to me. And what it is like, not all Dolby Vision is created equally.
That's right.
Like there's some Dolby Vision files that are like, basically it's like, you know, HDR or HDR 10 Dolby Vision. They're like dead on even. It's like the luminance is exactly the same. Yeah. Like the scale of brightness. And again, I'm going to butcher the hell out of this, but consider it an analogy, not an analysis.
Yeah.
And say like, so like, some films are rendered at like the top brightness is like 500. And that would be like, okay. And it looks great. You're going to be like, most people are like, okay, in Dolby Vision or HDR 10, it's going to look the same. It's going to look great, great tone mapping, great everything and this and that. But there are those files that will literally go up to like 10,000.
Yeah.
And
rare occasions, but
yeah. Exactly. And for Dolby Vision, if you have the Dolby Vision running correctly, you're going to get that tone mapped correctly and perfectly from 10,000 to zero. Mm-hmm. And that's that. And when I heard that, I'm like, oh crap, I want that. I don't know which ones are which. I'm more of like, I know you like to AB a lot of stuff. I know a lot of people do that. I do it every now and then. Mm-hmm. But if you told me that most of the time, like this is just going to be the most consistent, best version, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then every now and then, if somebody told me like, oh, the HDR 10 version on this is better, I'll do the AB. I'll do it for, but I might never find out that something else is might be slightly better if I know that that's the top most consistent quality. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they're saying about the Dolby Vision stuff going with this.
Yeah.
So
I was having some issues with the Lumigen, where everything that I was throwing at it was popping up as Dolby Vision. It was just a setting that I had to do within the Lumigen.
Oh, wow.
So okay. Anything like if I threw on a movie that's just HDR 10, it was still popping up as Dolby Vision. Still looked fine, but I didn't want that. And then I figured out, my cousin and I both got into it, and we figured out how to get that to switch over. It's a setting that you have to do on the Lumigen. That's the thing about the Lumigen. It's difficult to understand because there's so much in it.
Yeah.
But at least you had that option to do those changes, you know, for anything. I mean, everything's there. Like you could do anything with that Lumigen. That's why I told you, you know, initially before you made that purchase, I remember you giving me a call and saying, Nelson, is it really worth it?
What do you think? Yeah. Jim Doolittle was the one telling me to get it because remember I was having the problem with tone mapping. I was having, cause I didn't have any.
Right.
And it wasn't my Panasonic.
Right.
It was the Zepedi and I didn't have Kaleidoscape yet. Mm-hmm. And it really was streaming. And like I said, I remember talking to you about Foundation and the show Foundation and like just the blocking and the, you know, everything that was going on that I was like, this is just awful. How do I solve this? And I tried using the HD Fury. Yeah, using all these different things. None of them are set up to do that. I just mentioned it, I think on the show the other day, maybe it was in the after show and with the patrons. Mm-hmm. If Panasonic had a pass through like the Oppo does, cause you know how you can put HDMI in on the Oppos.
Yeah.
So like you can get that processing, you can run your Apple TV through the Oppo and get that same processing to your projector. But that the Oppo didn't have the optimization that the Panasonics do, right? If the Panasonics had the HDMI in,
but
I never would have got a Lumigen.
Oh, I see.
I wouldn't have. That was my problem. That was the quick and easiest. That was the cheapest, easiest solution. Cause what it would have done is it would have taken the Apple TV, would have taken everything else. What I would have done is I would have run everything else into my Marantz.
Yep.
And then out of the Marantz into the Oppo and from the Oppo into the projector.
Right.
So then I would, if it had that kind of processing, right? That's what I was doing before. So everything was getting the OPPO's processing into out, you know, it was a pass through the Marantz and into the OPPO and then out to the projector.
Right.
Now, if the Panasonic had that capability, that would solve so many problems for people. You wouldn't get the same, you wouldn't get the same quality you get with a Lumigen, but you would have gotten better quality. You wouldn't have had the issue. I wouldn't have had any issues. And
that's why you, that's why you also tried the HD Fury, because you thought,
right. Because I thought that would, but the HD Furies don't work like that.
No.
They actually go in the other direction.
Right.
So
interesting.
Yeah. So I wouldn't have done that. I'm kind of glad because it made me bite the bullet and get the Lumigen. It's a big purchase. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But once you get it running and you're like, I how do you live without it?
Yeah.
So if you have a projector, once you see that quality, you're like, oh my God. Yeah. It's like, you know, I never would have known. So I still would have been happy.
Right.
But I'm like, oh my God, look at that. So. Yeah.
And you're happy with the Lumigen now though, right? I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's funny. People ask me all the time, like, which one? I think Todd was the last one. And he loves he loves his Kaleidoscape, loves the Kaleidoscape experience, loves all that. And he always, and he's like, which one, if you can't live without, which one can't you live without? I'm like, Lumigen.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
And he's like, really? Not the Kaleidoscape? I go, look, I could, if I went back to all discs, the quality is going to be the same.
Yeah. It's there already.
It's there.
Yeah.
But the Lumigen, it up converts everything. It upgrades the entire system, all of your content.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get rid of my Kaleidoscape. I'm like, I need my Kaleidoscape. But if you're going to put a gun to my head, I'm like, this piece, the Lumigen, raises the level of the entire system. The Kaleidoscape only raises the level of just the movies.
Right, right.
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 So,
yeah.
And the movie experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. The Lumigen and the Kaleidoscape are both good pieces, you know. The Mad VR supposedly is really, really good as well. So.
Well, yeah. Video processor is good.
Yeah.
They're good. Yeah. They're all good.
Very you know, good.
Make your decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
I made mine before Mad VR was out.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then honestly, but I would still go Lumigen. It's like, it just does more. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you already know it. That's another thing, you know?
Well, that too. But if I didn't, and I did, if you do the research, you'll see it does more.
Yeah, yeah.
It does more, capable of the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, and I'm going to get a bunch of letters now.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't do more. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Do your research.
It just works. It works for me, the Lumigen, but,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind having a Mad VR just to compare them, you know, but,
oh yeah.
I'm sure it's, the processing it's going to be fine too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Well,
you know,
it is. It does the job. It does the same job.
Uh-huh.
Especially for like what you and I do. It
right.
does the same job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And you can debate which one does it better, but if you're going to do an AB with it, it's probably going to be, I don't even know who would win. And if you did, it would be by like a half a point.
Yeah.
And it could go either way
right.
for the jobs that we're having to do.
Right.
But the Lumigen just, I mean, if you look into it, it just flat out does more.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's more capabilities for it.
I like
which
it
makes
because
it more of a MacGyver tool than the Mad VR.
Think about it. Lumigen's been around for so many years, that same processor. And he's just
almost 20, isn't it?
Yeah. And he just keeps doing those firmware updates on it, you know? And I think finally with this new processor, what's it called? The Aristar,
it begins with an A.
Yeah.
You're right.
I wrote it down. It's the Artisan. Yeah. The
Artisan. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That 8K Artisan. I think he's starting to put most of his mind into that right now and get that one ready.
Yeah.
But right now, the latest firmware that came out for the Lumigen has been pretty steady and,
yeah.
And there hasn't been a change in it. So we'll see. I mean, right now, the way it stands with everything that it has, all its features, I'm good. I'm happy with it, you know?
Yeah. I would love, I still want the Artisan. I want to see what it can do. There was one feature on it. I can't remember what it was.
Uh-huh.
That I think you'll like it too. What it's going to do is it's going to, if I remember right, I think it's going to streamline your HDMI switching.
Oh.
Like, you know how like you get your lag times now when you go from one source to the next?
It'll be quick.
It'll be quicker because it's up converting and it's taking everything and putting it into one type of container so that when your projector gets the, it's, your projector isn't adjusting from certain, you know, is what takes a long time where you get that, okay, you're staring at a blank screen and then the sound comes in and now the image.
Yeah.
I think that's going to get smoothed out. Which is, I mean, it's a substantially more money.
Yeah.
Than what we already have one. You don't need it. But we could sell our Radiances and get this for, you know, a little bit more money. Is that worth it?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want to try it out. I want to see what it's like.
Yeah, I've been very happy with the switching lately. I mean, I think right now my switching has been fantastic. I mean, it really hasn't failed me for a long time where I, when I do the activity on the Logitech and it's been pretty consistent, which is a good thing, you know.
Do you do your switching through the Lumigen?
I do both because I have a lot of sources. And I only have four inputs on the Lumigen.
Oh, okay.
So I have like the Strato through it directly, my Panasonic and my Oppo, and then the Marantz handles everything else, which is like streaming stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so
I have the what is the one I have? The 21? Is it the 2143? The Radiance Pro? I have the newer one.
You have the eight inputs?
Yeah, I might have the one down. I think there's an eight. Is it 10 and an eight or a eight and a six?
I think a six.
Okay. So yeah, I think I have
the six.
I have the six input one, which is enough for all of my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and that one, it's got the new, you know, power, it's supposed to be. Better, cleaner. It's supposed to be a cleaner sound.
So audio and video,
audio and stuff.
It's been working. It's been working really, really good. You know, and the also that firmware that they just did on the Kaleidoscape, the latest firmware. Did you get that one? The one that it
gives
you.
Last time I checked, I didn't see.
Did you notice, a countdown on the downloads on the posters as you're downloading them?
No.
Really?
No, I haven't seen on
the Kaleidoscape. Yeah.
Yeah. When you order
something through the Kaleidoscape and the poster pops up, there's like a minute countdown. It tells you eight minutes, 7 minutes, six, all the way to it counts down. That's a new feature that they put in it.
Okay.
And you know the issue with the poster covers being low res that I told you about the last time. They it's still 1080p, but they ended up scaling those posters a little bit better, so that looks better too.
Yeah.
So
I was saying that to him at CD. I was like, the reason they did that is because I was talking to Andre at CD, the head engineer, and he was like, they had to do that because the Strato V only has so much memory. Mm-hmm. And so they made it, they wanted to allocate more memory to storing the 10 discs, 10 movies.
Right.
Instead of, you know, a 4K resolution across your screen. And I was like, well, why don't you make that switchable? Right. Like, why don't you leave that up to the user to be able to like, okay, we'll allocate more memory on like, cause you and I don't know. Did you get a hard drive?
No, I still don't have the hard drive. No.
Okay. So I have the hard drive. So I don't need, that Strato V is not using, I'm not using the hard drive in that at all.
No.
So I have plenty of space.
Yeah.
So why don't you make that, like, I could switch it. And now I could have the cause they have all the software. It's all there.
Right.
Cause it's on the Strato S. right. It's like, or Strato C, I should say.
Yeah.
They could make that switchable. And he's like, yeah, we could do that. I'm like, okay. Sounds good to me. Let me see my system. What's the latest update?
It should be 10.20. It should be the one that.
Yep.
Right.
Let's see.
10.20.0.
Account system, account information. My system. Yeah, it's the page I'm on here right online. It's not telling me. I have, I do have room for 8 4K movies. Mm-hmm. That's all I have room for right now on my 12 terabyte. Yeah, it's not saying I have to go. I have to go to a different.
Yeah.
Downloads.
I'm sure you have it because it was rolled out. And I think the majority of people have it already.
Yeah.
It took a little while. Yeah.
Last time I looked, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I'd have to go on the actual.
So next time you see it and you can see.
Next time I go on, I'll look and I'm in the theater.
You'll see that download progress. It'll show up on the poster in the corner, little circle that.
Yeah. Shows do you download a lot from your screen?
If I'm going through my movie, most people use the app, of course, but sometimes I'm sitting there and just going through the store on my, as I'm in my home theater, and then I'm like, oh, look at that. All right, let me get that click, you know? And then I noticed that it had the download progress on it now.
I don't do a lot from the theater. I do it mostly from the app. And then I just, when I'm in the theater, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
Push and play.
It's an improvement for sure. I'm very happy with the Strato V. I just got to get the hard drive. Maybe the end of the year or next year, I'll get one. You know, no rush for it. I'm good.
Tough because it's not cheap. And then if you get a little one how many titles do you own?
I own a lot of titles. Yeah. You know, because I,
you're like me, you have as many as I do.
I basically cataloged everything.
Yeah.
Because why not? That's how I see it. I'm like, you know, catalog it. And then if you do decide, it'll be, you know, only a few dollars.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know, Con Air, did you have that already cataloged?
I had already cataloged it and bought it for like $4 or whatever.
Yeah.
I already owned it in HD.
Oh, that's why.
So the 4K came out and I think I paid like $14 for it.
It was $17.
Okay. I paid a little less.
It was $17. But the majority now are $5. I don't know if you noticed that. The only ones that are holding out is really MGM and Disney.
Oh yeah. When you catalog it.
Yeah. So that's a good thing. So why not? I mean, I catalog everything, you know, because one day
when I got mine, you were still down in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And you had the Alto.
Yes. Right?
That's what it was, the Alto. And you're like, let me get you the Alto and you can catalog all your stuff because I bought the entire Star Wars saga, all the MCU movies at full price. And you're like yelling at me like, no, you'll get money off. Just catalog them. But that was back before, like now you can catalog with any drive, right? They did that upgrade like a year or so after I got my system.
Right.
And I have all the stuff from the Zapiti and I put it in and I cataloged even like most of my stuff again, like you did.
Oh.
And, but yeah, it was like when I first got, I was like, sorry. Sorry, buddy. I can't wait for your Alto to get here. I'm just like, buy.
Yeah. It was like,
oh my God.
It was like when I told you about the Zapiti, it was the same thing. Like what? It's almost like a kaleidoscope. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
That was an adventure.
It's funny that you say that because I'm donating that Alto to.
Are you?
To one of your people on the show. Nice. So I'm putting it out there that, you know, anybody who's in Boston, Connecticut, New York area, if they want to come get it, they can get it. It's a donation. It'll be for free.
Yeah.
The
Kaleidoscape Alto. So if you have a Kaleidoscape system, the discs. It'll put the discs in.
Yep.
Through the system.
And you can catalog everything. Yeah. And it also has a 6 terabyte hard drive. So you can So you'll get the whole Kaleidoscape. The whole thing, you know, the whole Kaleidoscape, all the features that you get with Kaleidoscape. So you'll have the ability, but there'll only be the HD versions, not the 4K versions.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, but I'm donating that and I'm also donating, I have a nice Kuro Plasma TV so someone who might need one, because it's like it's perfect shape. And I also have a Rotel amplifier that I'm going to donate to you guys too.
Wait, what? What?
I have a nice Rotel. Let me see which one. I think I wrote it here. It's a 1070. It's 130 watts per channel, two channel amp. That I have extra. So,
you Rotel know, Rotel was my. That was my. That was my dream system.
Oh, really? The Rotel amp?
Oh, yeah. Back in the '90s.
Yeah.
And yeah. Back in the '90s, and I finally got, I got my Rotel 1077, I think it was.
Yeah.
A 1070. I still have it.
Yeah.
Receiver, but it was receiver pre-pro, like you can turn it in. That was my step to, okay, I wanted to get separates. Right. And, I bought that like 6 months before HDMI came out.
Oh, okay.
So it became obsolete like 6 months later.
Right, right. Because,
you know, you're like, oh, crap. Like everything. Now you got to run HDMI through everything and it has no HDMI. So, but that was like, Rotel was for me, I don't know why. It was just, I love the look of them. I love their, you know, their reputation, the
quality,
their amplifiers. Way. That's what I wanted to run Rotel down the wall and down the rack. And, kind of got porked on that. I was like, I didn't know HDMI. We didn't know. It was like, when I say it was before it came out, it was probably like 6 months later, you found out about HDMI, right? Like, and you're like, well, it's not like I only got 6 months out of it, but my next receiver had to be something. I couldn't do the plan I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, yeah. And, so if any of the listeners are willing to come pick up the TV, because I can't ship that one, I'll send you pictures of the unit. It comes with have a bellow stand with it as well. So you'll be all set up. It's still a nice set, even to today's standards.
Oh, nice.
So if somebody's interested,
thank you.
Get in contact with you and
anybody listening, if you want to make the, you could be anywhere, but you got to make the trip.
But it's available to you guys. And then the amp and the kaleidoscope, let me know. I can ship those out. I can box
them
up and ship those out.
Cool.
You know?
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Look at you.
Yeah.
What, are you cleaning out the basement?
Yeah. I was cleaning out and I'm like, you know, let me donate this stuff. It's just sitting here. You know?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
What are you making room for, Nelson?
Nothing. It's just that I had like a little room in the basement where I had all my boxes and, and I said, you know what? Let me clear this out. And, you know, and since I was so lucky to win that remote, I was like, I gotta give back, you know, that's the way. Nice.
That's awesome. That's
the way it works. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
So
yeah, when I have to clear out this place. Oh my God. I think most of my stuff's coming with me, but I got a lot of old stuff like you. Like I got a daylight screen upstairs. Uh-huh. Like my original, it's a perf, perf screen. It's a 104 inch perf screen rolled up and upstairs in the attic. I've got amps up there. I've got receivers up there. I got all sorts of stuff. I never threw anything away.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
I don't even know if some of it works anymore.
Yeah.
I have a couple of projectors up there too, I think.
No kidding.
Older projectors. Yeah.
Yeah.
My early projectors, they've got to be, they're up there. So I know I didn't throw them out.
Yeah.
So they just, you go up to the attic, you put in the new stuff and you forget where you put the old stuff.
Right.
Move on. So,
right.
When I'm up there doing something, I'll be like, oh, hey, there's that thing. I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, you saw, I was watching the awards, the Golden Globes and, Colin Farrell won, for Penguin.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, how does he not?
Yeah.
How does he not? It's like, you didn't even know that was him.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, it's a testament to the makeup too, but even his acting, it's like, you can't even hear his voice.
Yeah. His acting goes right through that makeup, right? It's like unreal.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's like, he's so good. Yeah. So good. And did they, I don't even know. Do they give a Golden Globe for makeup or like anything like that?
I think, you know, Wicked won for cinematography, I think. And,
okay.
And nothing else though. And, blockbuster movie. That's a thing now.
What?
Yeah. That's a thing now.
What the hell is that? Like, just because like to give away like
ticket sales, really the amount of money that it made. That one for that.
And that was Wicked?
Wicked, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so. Wow. Interesting, right?
Yeah. 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 It's like, have you seen, did you see Penguin on Kaleidoscape or did you just watch it on HBO?
No, just on HBO. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good on the Kaleidoscape. I got it. It
looks good. Yeah.
It's improved. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's definitely improved. Sound yeah. definitely clear, cleaner, more dynamic. It's not a home theater show. So right. I'm not saying rush out and buy it, but right. it is better.
Yeah. They did a good job with that. And the girl who played the Falcone daughter.
Yeah.
She was great.
Sophia on the show, but
yeah Sophia.
She's
yeah.
insane. Her acting is absolutely yeah. insane.
Like she should have, she should have won something as well.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, her, yeah, she was the way, like, I remember in the early episodes and you'd see her and like, she wouldn't even say anything and you're just scared. You're just looking at her. Yeah, she was like, badass. The way she was acting with her face and it was just absolutely insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was that, but that's what made that show so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if it was because maybe we came in with lower expectations because it's, you know, it's Penguin. It's a comic book.
Right.
It's this, and it turned out to be anything but a comic yeah. book show yeah. or anything like that. It was literally a drama, like better than The Sopranos, better than, you know, like it's a, you know, a mob drama.
Yeah. He reminded me a lot of the character Tony Soprano.
Oh yeah. I started The Sopranos maybe a couple of years ago. I'd never seen it. And
wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. That's what everybody says. Like, really? I'm like, at the time when that came out, my kids were younger and I was too busy. I wasn't really watching a lot of shows,
yeah.
especially stuff like it's like your focus was elsewhere. Mm. And then by the time I could get time to get into it, there was other stuff coming out. So I never went back. And then when I had time to go back,
uh-huh.
I go back and I'm like, it just doesn't age well because I don't have the nostalgia for it.
Right.
And now you watch it and go, this isn't as good as the stuff that's out now. Why am I doing this? Right. I get what it is to the history of shows like that.
Right.
But if you come in this late, you're like, nah, it's not as good. It's not as good.
Understood. That yeah. kind of makes sense. Yeah.
There's a lot of, I'm getting more letters on that. Here we go.
That kind of makes sense though, you know, because a lot of people, all right. So the other day, my grandson, who's 5 years old, mm-hmm. I said to him, Jackson, you know, what do you want to do? Want to watch a movie? You know, cause he's at that age now. He'll actually sit through a movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you want to watch the original Wizard of Oz? It's right before Wicked. He's like, sure. Yeah. Right. And he's like, when he saw those munchkins, he was like, okay, like they see things differently now, you know, like I was so scared of the witch as a kid, right? When I saw that, cause I remember it was a Magnavox color TV that my dad had got, a console, right?
Yeah.
Cause we had black and white before that. And it was like a big deal to get color TV.
Oh yeah.
And The Wizard of Oz was one of the first shows that we watched on TV.
Yeah.
Because it was from black and white to color, you know,
right.
scenes in Kansas. And I remember seeing that witch and being terrified as a kid, like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that was Vader. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, she was as scary as Vader to me as a kid.
Yeah.
It was, absolutely.
But my grandson's like, she's not scary. And I'm like, she's five. I'm like, oh, man. So they see, you know, things are different now, you know, because.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have it, like. I mean, he's only five and he's seen a lot of things already. Like, you know, I mean, that movie with the robot. Hold on.
Getting a call?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
The movie with the robot.
The new one?
The animation.
Yeah.
You know, he loved that. But the Wizard of Oz, he was like, hey, it was okay, you know?
Right.
You know,
it doesn't. So. It ages well to us because of the nostalgia and the history.
Yeah.
But it doesn't to kids that have seen so much and experienced so much better that when they go and watch it, they're like, I don't get the hype. I don't get it.
Right.
It's like,
right.
You know, like even acting, go back and watch acting in the different generations of actors. And it's like, they're like overacting or they're not like acting it's gotten so much better that you watch a sitcom from like the 60s, 70s and 80s and you can see that you watch sitcoms now and you're like, this is like real acting. And like back then they were like, why did you go to the store?
Exactly.
You know, you're like, what the? We thought this was good.
Right.
Like, what is that? Right. Like, it's just so, it's, I think, and part of it, especially from doing the show, doing this, is editing too.
Right.
Right. Like they can back what is probably, this might have a lot to do with it, is that back then when you had to edit something, like just take an episode of Cheers. It's like Norm comes into the bar and it's like Norm comes in and everybody goes, "Hey, Norm." And then they go to, they cut to Norm and he's walking by and Norm goes, it goes, "Hey, what," you know, they're like, or Sam will be like, "Hey, Norm, what do you have?" And he'd be like, "And whatever." And then they cut to Norm and Norm will have his line and it's all like perfectly paced and spaced. There's gaps in between words.
Right.
Because when they did it, it was film. Right. They were like cutting, putting it, and you had to put it in. So there was these gaps. So it didn't seem like a conversation. Yeah.
It didn't seem coherent.
Fluid.
Yeah. It's fluid.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like you have the people say, "Hey, Norm." You have Sam say, "Hey, Norm, how's it going?" And it was like, "Well, it's a dog eat dog world and I'm wearing milk bone underwear."
Right.
So there's your three pieces. Now with digital, you could have the same acting and it'll be like, "Norm." And while Norm is coming through, they take Sam and he'll be like, "Norm, what do you have?" And before he can finish the sentence, they say, "Oh, Sam, it's doggy dog," you know, and it seems like a natural conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's super easy to do because it's all digital.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So like the actors could seem better and everything seems better to us today. Back then you watch it and you go, "This is horrible. Right. Why does it take them so long to say that sentence?"
Yeah. But then you could appreciate the older, sitcoms like I Love Lucy. That mm-hmm. we've done so well and people go watch those now and still right. get a kick out of it, like The Honeymooners and I Love Lucy, right?
But those were live.
Live, yeah.
Right. So now there's no editing.
That's right.
They were filmed before, you know what I mean? So yeah. you don't have those gaps. Those people are literally acting in front of each other yep. and it's like they just filmed it live and that's what you're seeing.
Like on a stage, yeah.
Exactly. So there's no that you get a more natural conversation because these people are acting it out for you live.
Right.
So it's like that. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that's what was fun, you know, what was fun about those shows is you'd have that one guy on a live show. He's supposed to be serious, but a joke has just been played and you're watching him live try to keep a straight face. You know, and that like stuff like that is like, yeah. that was always fun back then. And so it's. I mean, the generation difference is,
it's
crazy. I mean, it's not just technology, but that technology helps.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
It's crazy.
For sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, he saw that Wizard of Oz and he was like, you know, and I remember seeing it as a kid going, "Oh man, she gave me nightmares, that witch," you know?
Yeah.
Right. So things have changed, man. You know, even
flying monkeys, flying monkeys to us back then. It was like, yeah, now they're just like, yeah, it's, every day. I think.
And it looks better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the ones in Wicked now are like, that was pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
The way they did.
Yeah. That opening scene to Wicked, like I talked about on the show, is really, really good.
Yeah.
It's a great, I think it was a great demo scene. I thought it was like the graphics, the CGI, if you will, you know, all of that. I thought it's a great, you know, push play demo scene. For picture and sound, because then you end up, like I said on the show, it's like when you get those flying monkeys, I equated it to that, you know, being at Disney and doing the, you know, the Avatar ride.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever.
And you were like, oh my God, it was like that realistic. And you're like sitting there like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So,
your daughter is a big fan of the Wicked, right?
Oh yeah. She's huge.
Did she see it on Broadway?
She saw the play, but not on Broadway.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
She's seen the Broadway play, but I think, you know, I think it was here, somewhere up here.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's got a following. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very popular. It's very well done too, the play. And it's, you know, surprised it took this long to make the movie.
Right. Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
What else have you seen lately? What's your favorite from 2024?
Oh,
it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like other years where there's that absolute standout.
It's hard now. Like,
yeah.
Like I always go back to the movies of my time, like in the 80s and 90s.
Well, yeah, now you're getting into my conversation from last week that I had by myself about catalog versus new release, right? And it's like, you want to see that, but like, I don't want to say like I don't say crap, but the stuff that's coming out is bad. It's so good. Everything's so good. It's hard to like, Dune 2 is awesome. Civil War, awesome.
Yeah.
Godzilla Minus One, awesome. Yeah. Godzilla, the other Godzilla one, awesome home theater experience. All of these movies are great home theater experiences. Yeah. But it's like, what jumps out at you for the year? And it's hard to get something to jump out at you when everything's been elevated so much.
Right.
And you know, it's not that everything's bad. It's everything's so good now.
Right. Right.
That it's there, or there's so much good. Not everything's great, but so much good that it's hard to get one to be like, wow.
Well, I was telling that to my cousin the other day. There's really like no standout films that made me go, wow, that was just unbelievable. That was just great. I mean, like, I did see Gladiator 2, and yeah, it was okay. It wasn't as good as the first one.
No. Oh, definitely not.
Right?
It's good.
Okay,
you know? Yeah, it's good. It was a good story. I thought it was a good sequel. I know people like, I think Steve even said like didn't need to be made. Well, okay. That's fair, but I thought it was good. I mean, it's a good story to the first one.
Yeah.
And like I said on the show, I felt like even if you hadn't seen the first one in a while, they do a really good job at, by the end of the movie, you feel for all the characters and you should have a good understanding of the tie-in. Mm-hmm. Even you don't have to have just seen the original to get this one.
Right.
You'd know by the end. And as a matter of fact, I think I had just seen the original, but I do feel like if you haven't seen it in a while, it actually adds a little bit more suspense because you're like, who's who here? Maybe you might not remember exactly everybody. Mm-hmm. Cause these are all new characters that are playing people that were around that you didn't know or were younger or, you know, and now all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's that person or that's that person, you know? Obviously what's her name? Connie Nielsen, I think it's, you know who she is, but, most of the other ones you don't know.
Right.
And, you know, so even the main story fills all that in. Yeah.
And Denzel, of course, you know?
Yep.
There's no movie that I left the theater and went, that was just incredible. I remember as, you know, I guess, I don't know if I see things differently now, but I remember watching Superman the movie in the theaters for the first time. Right?
Yeah.
And leaving that theater like, wow, you know, that with that belief, like that dude was flying, you know?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, do you remember the specials back then? They used to do it and show you how they did it. They showed you green screen. They showed you like, I remember seeing like Christopher Reeve like lay on the green box.
Yep.
And then his arms out and they're showing you how they do it. And like, this is what it looked like. And they have the fan in his face and him doing the, and then they're like, and now this is what it looks like on film. And then we can go back in. I mean, that movie was, they did a lot of this. Obviously, this is before any kind of special edition features or anything.
Yeah.
This was literally on a show.
Yeah.
Probably like, I don't know, like what show it would have been called, like how they do that or something. You know, we only had three channels.
Right.
So it was on one of the networks. Yeah. And that was what was entertaining for us. It was like all the stuff we take for granted today, special features behind the scenes or just like, oh yeah, it's easy. I know how they do that.
Yeah.
It was huge. Like anybody can fly. Like how did you do that?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, yeah. Superman flying, a man can fly.
Yeah. Like, in the 70s, it was crazy. And the same thing with the Star Wars movies and Indiana Jones movies, right? You left the theater like, wow, that was some experience. That was the best time I ever had in a theater.
Yeah, like, how did they do that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not getting that anymore. Like, I did go see Wolverine, Deadpool Wolverine.
Deadpool Wolverine, yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you're not left going, how did they do that?
Right.
Like, they paid actors and did some CGI. We all know.
Right. It's like, it's crazy. And it's done so well now, too. Like, it's unbelievable, right? Even like, the de-aging that they do on people now that they can bring back people that are dead and, you know.
Yeah. I was thinking that with Rogue One, where they did, Grand Moff Tarkin and Leia at the end. And I'm like, it'd be nice if they did a new edition of that. and then upgraded that. Cause I thought, I always thought Tarkin, even when it came out in 2016, I thought they did a good job with Tarkin because he's older.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember saying that John and I said that on chat. It was like when we talked about Rogue One, it's easier to render Tarkin because he's so old and so many wrinkles that your eyes are going to see that. And it's easier to make it seem real.
Yeah.
Whereas when you look at Leia, her skin is so smooth and perfect that when her skin actually looks right. And what's funny is I went, when I watched Rogue One, I went right to the beginning of Star Wars.
Right.
And when you see the same thing. Yeah. And when you see her face in that, it is really, really close.
Yeah.
Right. It's so close that when you see Rogue One, you're like, wow, her skin looks too perfect. Go right to Star Wars. You'd be like, oh crap, her skin was that perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know what I mean? But what is wrong to me, it was a little bit in the eyes were incorrect. Right. And then her lips. Obviously, in the way they talk, her lips were wrong, like too glossy, too full or something like that. Uh-huh. So there was that put you off a little bit. But what they have now, they could go in and they could do a new master of that and redo all of that for like almost nothing the way they do it now.
Oh, yeah.
And nail it. And I think that would improve it too.
Right. But
Tarkin, I think, looks pretty good.
Yeah. Cause I've seen things on social media that people do and it's unbelievable what they could do now, you know?
Well, there was that kid that did it on the Luke one, right?
At the end of
Mandalorian, and then he ended up getting hired.
Yeah.
They hired him because he did the deep fake, and he's like, nope, you guys did it wrong. And he did the whole, like that whole scene over.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God. So they just hired him.
Right.
Isn't that great? That's like YouTube. Like you can get hired on YouTube. If you're that good, put your stuff out there and somebody would be like, thank you. We got you.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So as a favorite film, you know, I really didn't have one this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing really that stands out. I don't know if you had anything that.
Like I said, like I love Fall Guy, but that's not home theater. I mean, it's a good home theater experience, but I had so much fun with that movie. I just love their chemistry. I just love the comedy. I love that it was a take on Fall Guy, the show that I loved.
Right.
All of that. And that made it fun. Home theater was pretty good. But it's definitely, I can't honestly put it in like my top 10 home theater experiences.
I know Oppenheimer, you,
that was the year before. That was the standout from the year before. The year before that obviously was Maverick. But this year it's like, yeah, I think Dune 2 is good. What's sad is I did have Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
And like I've said about Dune 2, though, I think it suffers because it's like Dune 1.
Right.
You know, so it's like they did a lot. And again, a lot of these are suffering because they're just as good as all the other great stuff.
Right.
So how do you get one that just really jumps out at you?
Yeah. I had high expectations for Twisters. And
And that's the other thing. Twister jumps to the front, like we talked about on the show. Like it's a new audio master. It's a new video. It's like, I know it's a catalog title, but it came out this year. And it's like, this version did not exist in any way until this year. So do we put that in for home theater, even though the movie's been out since what, 93 or whatever? Where do you put that? And I don't know.
Yeah.
And Twister blows away Twisters.
Like if somebody says to me, I feel like watching Twister, I'm like, no, you don't want to watch Twisters. You want to watch Twister.
The movie's original, good.
You know?
Right. I thought the movie was good. I like Twisters, the movie. I like,
okay.
Similar to Fall Guy, I like the chemistry between the two actors.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Glenn Powell. And what's in like the way that like, that will they won't. I loved how they played that through the entire movie. Like there was almost to the point, like there's going to be a Twisters 2 or whatever. It's like, and I love the ending to it. Their relationship that they had through that movie, I thought was really, really good. Much like Fall Guy. I liked the story. I probably came in with some pretty low expectations because how are you making another? Twister was a one-off. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about tornadoes. Okay. They did a good job at making a sequel out of that. I thought that was good. So it checks that box. The other part I liked, the death count was higher. Not to sound like Steve, but there were more gory twisters than in this one than the first one.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought that it made it more realistic.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you're going to talk about twisters and people are going to be doing this stuff, you need more, you need a bigger body count.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
The original, only a few people, they're like, how did only a few people die here? It's like, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was good. I was very entertained by it in the theater. I'm a little disappointed. I thought it was a little flat at home.
Oh, yeah, me too. I had to put the output.
It's good,
but I had to put it louder. I had to put it loud because the recording was not too good.
It's not Ragnarok flat.
No.
It's just, I think now, like, stuff like Twisters suffers because it's really good audio. It's really good track. It's a really good picture, but there's so much great. Right.
But right.
It makes it harder to be like, well, okay, I'm a little disappointed because I wanted it to be great. Isn't that weird? Like, I want everything to be great.
But, yeah. Now we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we're so spoiled now because again, you know, I was telling this to my cousin the other day too. I was like, we're so far ahead than we've ever been with home theater.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have never, like, I could honestly say I have like a little, screening room in my house. Cause some of these titles look unbelievable on 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's like, I mean, it's like I have a copy of the film.
Yeah.
Owning it on the Kaleidoscape or on disc.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and who would have thought it? Think about the times we had to watch Laserdisc and then throw in a Laserdisc and you get the laser rot, you know?
Yeah.
Or VHS tape that didn't track right. And it was a bunch of lines coming in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we are so far ahead. I think even with the streaming too, I mean, the streaming looks, some streaming so look fantastic.
Did you see that, that article that it was going around? Chris Deering was in on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Streaming.
Yeah.
And they actually did the research and like the, they took the audio readings and stuff and knew how much to punch it up. And they were like, yeah, it's dead on.
Yeah.
It's there. You just have to know what the settings need to be. And it's like most of it was like a plus 10, you know, plus 11, some of them plus 8. But I think their average came in around 9 or 10, plus 9 or 10 over the physical. And that to me is like, okay, that's a great sign. It's great that that's there, but that just shows but they did even say in the article, like, that's under best conditions for streaming because there's still so many variables. Like, what if the streaming, like, what if the stream into your house is lagged because of, you know, the demand around you and everything outside of it? So it's still not a guaranteed good, or great experience where you get that with physical. Right. Yeah. Not only is physical guaranteed to be better or would be better,
right,
but it's consistent.
Right.
Where streaming, you never know what you're going to get.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
But it is nice to see because think of what streaming was, just like we said earlier about Napster and stuff. It's like 5 years from now, that all could be smoothed out and you could get exact same quality as physical.
Yeah.
Then the only difference is, do you want to own it or do you just want to stream it?
Yeah. And it's, think about right now what we're doing. With the video podcasting that we're doing right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. You couldn't do this.
Yeah. I mean, there's no audio lag in your side. Like your voice, when you speak, I hear the audio perfectly as if you were here. That's unbelievable. So I say this, we should be very thankful for what we have because, it's just incredible. To be honest with you, you know, if you think about what we have, and I guess, you know, someone like you and I, who's seen the other side, you know, when it came to like lasers.
See where it came from. Yeah.
Right. To a younger kid, like, you know, like my son, I mean, my son saw a little bit of it, but most of the time he had excellent video and audio.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, my son, Greg, my son-in-law, it's, you know, they appreciate it because they see through my eyes too.
Right.
They know, you know, they've learned like, okay, yeah, this, you know, and I'll be like, this is where we came from. This is this. But a lot of people that age, they're like, they don't even go back to like, we talk about the streams not being good. It's like, yeah, really? Compared to rabbit ears?
Oh, right.
And snow, ghost, you know, like what? Snow, yeah. Snow and yeah, ghost snow. It's like, you know, the light, like the screen, it looked like the frames were going up and down. Yeah, yeah. And you're like, but it was like, and what was funny was,
that's so funny.
It's funny. Talking about old man stuff. We already went back to black and white. We might as well talk about this too, right? no, but it was, and it was a point. There was a point, like, it didn't even, it wasn't a matter of getting rid of the snow. There was no getting rid of snow.
Right.
It was reducing it enough.
Yeah.
If you ever got rid of it, it was like, it was like 4K back then.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, no snow on the screen.
Yeah.
You were like, don't move.
Don't move.
Anybody in the house move. Yeah. Don't anybody drive by.
Yeah.
Don't do anything.
Right? I remember too that aluminum foil in the end of the rabbit ears, right? All kinds of stuff to get a good signal. And then finally, my dad finally put a roof antenna.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. The clarity just, but you still, even with that, there was a little knob that you had to turn to move the antenna on the roof.
Dial it in.
Right?
Yeah.
To point to the Empire State Building so you can get the signal right.
Yeah, but see, you could point to the Empire State Building. I'm in the woods.
That's right.
Even as a kid, I'm like, there's no Empire State Building.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm watching TV and seeing King Kong on the Empire State Building. I'm like, I'm in the woods and there's no, like, we always had snow. It was just guaranteed. UHF didn't.
Right.
That was the difference. Remember, UHF had the better, but they didn't have any of the channels.
No, they just had
that was all the extra stuff.
Yeah, the Spanish channels and, back then, yeah. And some like local channels sometimes you'll find on the UHF.
Yeah. So. Yeah. UHF was like, it was all local. Like, you know, we have Boston Channel, WLVI, WSBK, which is still around, I guess. But that was, after school stuff, it was cartoons, right. Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island, stuff like that. And it came in fine. But when you watched ABC, NBC, or CBS, no Fox yet, people, that didn't come out until the cable days.
Right.
But when you watch stuff like that, it was all snow.
Yeah.
You know, guaranteed snow, and you had to.
And sometimes you watch it like that. Like, you know what? It's fine. Just watch. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's as good as it's going to get. Yeah, okay. Never mind watching, trying to watch hockey.
Right.
You know, hockey on a little, you know, 13 inch color television. And you're like, where's the puck?
Yeah.
What? You know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. That's why, you know, think about all those times and think about what you have now and see how lucky we really are, you know, to have what we have.
Yeah.
Because, you know, growing up, it was like, man, I wish I could have a movie theater one day in my house, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
And now we do.
Movies. Yeah, now we do. So.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what makes, like, what we have, what, like, upgrading and stuff now. Because, like you said, we're so far advanced. Mm-hmm. We're, for all intents and purposes, past the point of perception.
I believe so, yes.
You know,
I gotta agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah.
So how do you get, I guess, just going off of what I'm experiencing right now is how do you get more of that to the masses? Right. Like we're past the point of, like I said, past the point of perception, but I wasn't able to perceive the improvement until the latest Lumigen update.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how do we get more of that to people? Like, do we get displays that are more capable of that? It doesn't have to be an OLED anymore. Does that come? That's what's basically going to happen, where you get to the point where it's like everything's going to be stellar. But then how does the market go from there, where you're going, okay, now everything is, because eventually everything will get to OLED quality. Mm-hmm. Which, and I think there's stuff better than OLED. I'm just saying, like,
yeah,
that's our benchmark right now, right? For picture quality.
Right. Well,
where do we go from there?
I don't know.
That, like, if you want to be better than that, what do you do?
Yeah.
And that's the stuff I'm thinking, like, that you talk to John Thompson about, and where you get into the masters of these movies that are far superior to what we have, just because the capability for the masses, including ourselves, is this is all mass produced stuff. It is better. There is better stuff out there. Mm-hmm. It's just, how do you mass produce that now?
Right.
You know, yeah. So there is a future. Believe it. Believe it or not, there is a future. But how is that going to come to play? Right. And, you know, are we going to get to see it?
I mean, I think at this point, anybody who has like the majority of people who have Apple TVs.
Yeah.
And a 4K or even a 1080p panel are content with that.
Yeah.
With that image quality.
It's great. You know, it is. It's like, I mean, anything 70 inches or under, you don't need 4K.
Right.
1080 is fine. And you know, even at that, at HDR, are you really noticing the difference? Are those people noticing the difference?
You tell people HDR, they're like, what? What are you talking about?
I don't get that. You know, it's like, you know,
yeah.
It's, but for, it is fun to talk about. It is fun to think about that. There's this entire market. It's like, there are so few of us that really, really appreciate
it and care,
but it still goes on.
Yeah.
They haven't given up on us.
Yeah. I think, like I said, the majority of people are super happy with their Apple TVs. And, you know, I mean, how many besides me and a few others, how many people do you know that are into home theater the way we are?
Well, yeah, our community.
The community.
Around me?
Yeah.
Not many.
No.
Like people I actually interact, like that I see that are around me, it's not many. It's like, and it's interesting, like, you were in Jersey. You moved here.
Yep.
You listened to the show. And now, Danny, you're like, that's somebody. But think of how you had to go, what the lengths you had to go to have somebody around you, aside from myself, right? But somebody, it's like, around you to be like, you're into home theater too? What that took. And the same with like, you know, Johnny Speakers and Mikey Schramm. It's like, they're 2 hours apart.
yeah.
But they visit each other because they're like, because they're home theater people. And it's like, they met through a show and it's like, it's not like, and when you hear about, and what the other part is like, I've heard for years, like there's people around me. I've been in shops, you know it. There's other home theaters in my area.
Yes.
But a lot of these people are like, they're quiet too.
Yeah.
So it takes that person that'll either, you know, come on. How many people are listening to the show right now that would never, ever go to another person's house?
Exactly.
Most of them. Yeah. Most of them.
Yeah.
And that's most people. And that's fine. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. That's most people.
Right.
It's rare that you're like, I want, or they might want to go to somebody else's house and they want to see another theater, but it's like, that's weird. Right.
Right,
like,
right.
I mean, it is a weird thing to do to be like, can I come see your room?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, but you're still into home theater. And I'd say probably 95% of the people listening to this show, they're like, I've never been to somebody's house. I don't want to go to somebody's house, but I wish I had somebody to talk to.
Right. It's funny though, because back in the early 90s is when I joined the AVS forum.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they used to have meets, you know, you meet people that are on the forum. And, they did a home theater cruise.
Yeah. You told me. Yeah.
That was great. You know why? Cause other, companies were there like JVC and JVC. Yes. It was during the CRT. I had my CRT projector at that time and digital was starting to make its way right into home theater. And the guy showed me, this is the new JVC RS1. And it has blacks just as good as a CRT. And there were like a contrast ratio of 10,001, I believe. Not even, maybe 8,001.
Yeah.
And, it's the first time I saw a JVC projector. And they were comparing it to you remember Sam Runkle from Runkle?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He was there and Joe Kane was there. A lot of people from the business was there and it was really awesome. And And that was quite a while ago. And at that point, that's what we used to do. They had seminars and they talk about calibration and they talk about home theater. And it was right at the time where Blu-ray was just coming into play.
So it's early 2000s then.
Yeah.
2006. Yeah. 2006.
Yeah. Early 2000s. It was right around that area. Yep. And HD DVD and the whole war thing and everything.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And that was like it. That was like the home. That's like the more the way you're going to meet someone in this home theater stuff is through that, you know, through that cruise.
Yeah.
Or through the forum. But that was it. Now with all the different podcasts that we have, it's a little different now because there's so many of them now.
Yeah. Now you can meet people and like through the podcast, through the forums, you talk to people. Oh, where are you? Where are this? I think the next one is M-Wave. Experienced that this year. And it's like you go to M-Wave and that's all people like us. It's for people like us. It's for the listeners. It's for the passionate people following, you know, all of these shows, all of the YouTubers And it's like the exact opposite of Cedia, right? But that was fun to experience, you know, watching the people interact, watching the, basically all these customers, listeners of all these shows just walk around and meet each other and talk and be like amazed at what it's like to be at Cedia, what it's like to be treated the way like you got Anthony Grimani talking to you about his room and these people are like, oh my God.
Exactly.
Anthony Grimani. You know, it's like, you know, it'd be like going in the locker room of an NFL team to all these people and you're meeting all these people. They're like rock stars to them, you know? So I think that's, if they do that upright, if they keep it going the way it's going, that could be the next big thing.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind going to, I'm always busy during that time, but one of these days, I'm going to go to one of those M-Waves. I know he's not doing it anymore, though, right?
Yeah, Michael's not.
Right.
But they're still doing it, as far as I know.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's like they're still doing it. Just Michael's not because it was just allocating. I mean, he said it on the show, too. It's just his time away from his show, what he was putting into it. So it was a balance. But he's still, you know, supporting it. He still thinks it's a great idea, like I do. But he just, like, I can't support. I can't do any more than me just saying it's great. So kind of, he actually was working it.
I know
he was working for it.
That's crazy. That's a busy.
Yeah, it is. And it takes a lot to do that, to put that thing on. And as it grew and grew and grew, it took more and more work. And if he kept, I think he didn't say this to me, but I feel like it was like, he probably was like, if this keeps growing, I have to keep doing more. My channel is going to suffer because I can't do my channel. I got to do just this.
Right.
So I think he had to make a choice, you know,
right,
which is good and bad. I mean, it got it going. He's got his channel and it's going. So hopefully it can continue, you know.
Right.
So
would you ever consider doing something like that?
No. Yeah. No. That's
rough.
It is rough. And the thing is, and people don't get this is like, I saw a lot of the complaints about it. It's like, why are you charging money for this? Why are you charging for this? And why? These things cost money.
Yeah.
Right. Like the places to go, like, people like doing the theater tours, like you could sign up to do that. And it was like $250 a house. Right. And they split the money with the house. So like if you hosted, say you had five seats in your theater, they would charge $250 a seat and you do like two viewings a day. You do a morning viewing and an afternoon viewing.
No, really?
In the area, yeah. So like that was part of M-Wave. Like you go and see actual home theaters. You drive out and they'd have, I think this year, maybe they had five or six of them, something like that. And people would pay, all right, I'll pay $250 to see this house. I'll pay $250 to see this house.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And what they did, and then like if you were the host, if you had five seats, you would get half of the $250 per seat.
Wow.
And then M-Wave would keep the other half. And people were complaining, like, why are you taking money? Why are you taking part of it? Well, we're putting this on. These people, like, people's time is money. Never mind the money it takes to put this on for the hotel and for the rooms and all the stuff you got to rent and all this. It costs money to put it on. And then the people doing it, volunteers are doing it with their time, but the people running it, they're doing this like round the clock for months ahead of time.
Wow.
So there has to be, you got to be compensated for that, because what are you doing for a living?
Exactly.
Right? We're not all just out here doing charity work for like home theater. And if the money was compensatory, like if I could make money at it to support my family, oh my God, I would love to do that.
Right.
Right? But we all first and foremost have to support our families.
Exactly.
Right? I can't just be like, I'd love to do it, and then just be like broke because I spent all my time doing home theater.
Right.
Right? If I could do that, if I could make money and it could support me, then I would do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it could. You know, it's like the money just isn't there. It, you know, it's not worth paying me the money I need to survive to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize that, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, like even talking with Jim Doolittle, and he loves home theater so much and he loves calibration so much that instead of like cost of living has gone up, mm-hmm. right? Calibration has gone down.
Right.
People, not as many people are getting calibrations. You got to raise your prices, of course. So right. He's still doing like high end stuff. He's still doing it. But when you're running your household, it's, you need money to support your house. Right? Right. So you can either do, if you're making less money, you can get another job and make more money doing something else.
And then just have that as a little part time.
If you could do it.
Right.
But a lot of times if you get something else, now it takes away from your ability to do that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves doing it so much. There's the other option where you lower the income you need.
Right.
You get a cheaper place to live. You get rid of stuff. You have less extra income. You know what I mean? So right. He has just lowered his cost of living so that he could continue to do what he does.
Oh, wow.
So there's that, you know, and these are the sacrifices people make in these businesses for what they love to do. It's all a game of numbers, and when you see people complain, like, why are they doing this? That's so much money. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's like, there's a reason for it. And it's like, I was saying to a friend the other day, I'm like, oh my God, that plumber charges so much money. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Cause that's what he needs to get by. And like, nobody's paying that. If nobody was paying it, he wouldn't be charging it.
Right.
Right. It's like, don't be mad at the guy that's charging a lot of money and not complaining.
Right.
Be mad at the guy that's not making any money and he's like, he can't find work because he's not very good.
Exactly.
This guy's so good that he's like, yeah, I'll come out to your house. It's going to cost you this much. Oh, I could find a guy for half that. Yeah. And he's probably more than half less of a plumber.
Exactly.
He's going to be a really bad plumber.
Right. Sometimes you have no choice, you know, if you want to get something done right, you know.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You just got to get it paid, so. You know. Yeah. So, I don't think this calibration stuff is something of like needed anymore. Like, I mean, you'll always have your enthusiasts, but, the average.
I think it's needed. I think it's still needed. I think it's for guys like us. I don't think it's something, to be honest, I don't think it's any less or more than it was. We just know more about it.
Yeah.
So we think it's like more people should have it and you'd think more, but it's the same. You know, I mean, Jim's saying it's less.
Yeah.
So I guess it is. That's true. But that is because to like you said, like the, like we've been saying, like the displays have gotten better out of the box.
Right.
It's not needed, but it is needed for guys like us. Like I was saying to another listener yesterday, Jack, he's getting his first calibration ever in the next couple of weeks. He's all excited.
Who's calibrating? Who's calibrating for
him? Oh, he's in Australia.
Oh, he's in Australia. Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. So he was like, he's all excited. And he's like, I can't wait to see the difference. I can't wait to see this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah. And I said flat out, I was like, I go, it might not be as big a difference as what you and I experienced, Nelson, years and years ago, because the displays out of the box were so bad.
Yeah.
It was absolutely necessary, especially for what we enjoy, right? Now, having experienced those calibrations and then you get these calibrations, you're like, oh, it's not the same, but it is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It's lesser, But the other part is the peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, and like Jack was saying, he's like, he heard me talking about the Batman, right? And it's like, that's one of those movies that if you don't have a calibration, you're like, is it supposed to look like that? Is it supposed to be like that? Like, is that what they intended when they, you know, it's like, cause the blacks aren't as deep as other movies and it's not as, you know, so you don't know, but when you get a calibration, you know, it isn't you. That's what they intended, or that's what the content is providing. And yeah. I think that's where a calibration is important. It gets rid of all of that, you know, FOMO, right? Yeah. You're not worried at all that it's you and maybe you messed it up and it doesn't look right. You look at it and go, I know that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that now with this projector. That's one thing about the laser light source.
Yeah.
Is like, there's always a consistency when you turn it on.
Yeah.
With the bulb projector, I remember sometimes it would look brighter. Sometimes you turn it on and it would look darker, and then the next day it'll look brighter again. So now with laser, it's more consistent with that, where you don't get that fluctuation in brightness. Like you do with bulbs. But other than that, I mean, image
it's wise. A light source.
Yeah. Other than that, light source. So, but, yeah, definitely, a recognition. Yeah,
but you miss out on buying a new bulb and the excitement.
But the thing is,
I got a new bulb. Everything's fresh.
Yeah. But the thing is, sometimes you would get those bulbs and the old one looked better.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've had that happen.
You know, it's like, oh, what the hell? My picture just got dim, you know?
Yeah. But I ruined a projector with buying a cheap bulb years and years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I learned the hard way. Yeah. I was like, the normal bulb, it might have been my Panasonic. The normal bulb, I want to say it was like $400.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because they're not cheap.
Yeah, they're
expensive. It was like $400. So I was like, I found a place. I did some, you know.
Yeah.
Some Google shopping or whatever. And I found one for like $125.
Oh, that's the one.
I was like, all right, 100. I'm like, I'll get two of them and I'll have a backup. And I'm like, I'm still saving money. I'm like, look at me. So I literally used both of them inside of like 3 months because the first one crapped out. It didn't do it right. And then the second one, what was happening is that apparently, and again, I'm a car painter. I'm going to butcher this, but the impedance or whatever, it ruined the projector. It fried it. Fried the projector. And Jim was like, what the hell did you do? He told you don't ever buy like knockoff. Buy the bulb. He goes, this is what happens. You'll ruin the projector. It's like, it's not set up. It's going to burn too hot or do this or what. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I there was no fixing the projector. It fried it.
Oh, shit.
I was like, yeah. And I was like, oops. And it fried it in the middle of a football game, I think.
Oh, man.
I had all my buddies over, and we ended up all sitting out here, four of us sitting on the couch watching it on like a 50-inch TV right outside my theater. Like idiots trying to catch the end of the game. And I'm like, let me put in a new bulb. So I took the old bulb, which still worked, because you always save the old bulb until a brand new one shows up. I put the old bulb in, and it still didn't work. Nothing. Oh. I got nothing. It was literally fried. It wouldn't fire up. So I was like, oh, well, learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Don't skimp on your bulbs. But now that you have laser, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Did you take a look at the new Sony projector, the one with the laser and the new tone mapping? Have you seen that yet?
Oh, yeah. I saw it at Cedia.
Oh, how is that? Nice. Yeah.
What is it? Is it the 9000? What do they call it? I forget the numbers.
Yeah,
I
think it's in the nines. Yeah, something
like that. The 9 and 8. They have the 8 and 9. The 8's really nice. The 8 will probably work fine for me. The 9 has the better processing.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
And the,
it is.
And the tone mapping is the same on both of those, the 8 and the 9?
I think so. I can't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember what the... All I do remember is thinking, I have the Lumigen, so I'll be fine with either.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But they did a great demo where they put the latest Sony up against last year's Sony.
Oh.
And they just did, they AB'd, like they had it in the room. They were like, this is without tone mapping. This is this. And they showed like, bam, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Right. And it was like, it was night and it basically telling you. And again, this is Cedia. you know, talking to dealers, and this is why you're going to walk into your customer's house and you're going to go, that projector we sold you last year is now obsolete because look at what this one can do. Right. And it's great. It's great. You know, like, yeah, the new Sonys are making the 1 year old Sonys obsolete.
That's crazy.
They're not making the JVCs obsolete, but, yeah. You know, cause it's like, I just thought they looked great.
Yeah.
And it was funny. Mikey Schramm saw it and he still thinks the JVCs are better.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, he didn't think the Sony was, he thought it was super impressive. The AB, yeah. Right. He's like that. It blew him away. But then seeing the JVC, even this year's JVC, I think the JVC and Sonys are even closer now
than they were
because now they both have the tone mapping. Right. And I thought before, like, your system and my system are very close now because we're both running the Lumigen.
Right.
But he says he likes the JVC, the slightly better black levels, blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I haven't, and people have asked me, have you made your decision yet on the new theater? I'm like, no. I'm like, it could be a JVC, could be a Sony, could be, who knows what's going to pop up between now and then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Marco, Christy.
Yeah. Well, I'd love the Barco I saw this year was really nice. Is it the Heimdall? Yeah. Is that the one that was this year?
That's a DLP.
Oh, yeah.
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 Sharp, I bet. Really sharp, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you run that DLP and you, that's where if you have the video processing, it's like, Yeah. They're more consistent.
Yeah.
It's more consistent a picture too.
Yeah.
Like I've said it before, it's like Jim's trying to talk me into getting the Barco and he's like, I go, what will I notice the difference between that and like the Sony or the JVC? He goes, oh, nothing. Why am I getting it?
Yeah. It's so good. All of them now, you know?
Yeah.
They're all so good. It's like, you know, pick the one you feel it's going to work for you and be happy, you know? Because,
DLP is more like the way he describes again, car painter giving you his description, but it's more consistent quality than like there's inherent issues in the Sonys and the JVCs. Yeah. They're top quality, but there's inherent issues in there that DLP doesn't have.
Yeah.
And that's Joe King. And most people never know about it.
Joe King used to say the same thing. He liked the DLP.
And that's where Joe Kane and Jim are like brothers. They work together on everything.
Yeah, the three chip DLPs, you know.
Yep.
Not the one with the color wheel, you know.
Yeah. And that's what all the commercials are running, all the three chip DLPs. They're all running because it's more reliable, more consistent image quality, longevity, blah, 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 to go along with all that. Yeah. So
once my eye caught onto that color wheel effect.
Yeah.
I see it all the time now. Like just the movement of my head, I see that color wheel. I don't know if you ever noticed color wheel effect, but.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's other flaws. There's other things like you wish you didn't know they were there. And I'm pretty good at forgetting. I'm pretty good at like, cause it comes with, well, honestly, it comes with the budget.
Yeah.
You want to get into this hobby and you want to experience a bunch of stuff and you want to go out and see things and you'll be like, I'm going to see the best. But like, you have to be able to forget what you saw or forget flaws because your budget's never going to be able to solve them.
Right.
Right. So you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And,
That's something that I can't unsee.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it's something like that, I just can't do it. you know?
Yeah.
That's something like that rainbow effect is something that I constantly see.
Yeah.
Like even when I do the trade shows and where they set up those DLPs, like just a head turn. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. What the hell was that? It's like vertigo, you know? It's crazy.
Yeah. The my first two projectors were DLP way back in the day.
Yeah. But, I had a Mitsubishi that was DLP.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had I can't remember what my first one was. An Epson Mitsubishi and that Panasonic Vivitec. What else did I have? I've had a few. Quite a few.
The Sony that you bought, the one you have now, it's the first Sony you ever had?
First Sony projector I ever had.
Yeah.
The only other Sony I ever had was my Trinitron, 32-inch Trinitron.
Yeah. I had the Sony Pearl 1080p projector. It was one of their first ones. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was a nice.
They weren't cheap.
Yeah, they weren't cheap. They were like, no. At that time, around $5,000, I think.
Yeah. And at that time, was like 15 now.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Getting what we can get for $5,000 now, though, $5,000-$6,000 is insane.
Yeah.
The quality is insane.
Yeah. Superior to any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any upgrade? Other upgrades to the theater?
No, the only thing I'm considering is a new processor, because the one I've had now, I think it's about 15 years old, my 8802.
Audio?
Yeah, my surround sound processor.
It's 15 years old?
It's up there.
What do you got?
I have the original Marantz that came out with the Atmos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It can't be 15 years old.
No.
Not with Atmos. Atmos came out at home in about 2015.
Yeah.
So no, it had to be 16 or 17.
Okay.
I would be willing to bet.
It's got to be maybe 8-9 years old. It has to be up there because I remember this. They did an 8802 first to Marantz.
No, let me look that up.
Yeah.
It might be 14. Yeah. I might have just mixed up. I might have just mixed up 4K.
I might have missed it too. So I thought it was up there.
Yeah, I don't think it was 15. 15 years ago would have been like, let's see, Dolby Atmos. It's like, cause I heard about it in the theater. I want to say Atmos came out in 2014 off the top of my head. And then,
you know what?
When it came out. And then I remember getting it. I got it at Christmas time when the Onkyos just came out and, you know, Marantz came out and it was just like the DTS. X didn't exist yet.
Yeah. Let me see. I have it here. I think it was.
Let's see.
Up there. It's up there. That's for sure.
First Dolby Atmos. Trying to Google it. Wow. Let's see. Wikipedia. Dolby Atmos. Here we go. Dolby Laboratories. Blah, blah. Inception was 2012. So we probably didn't see it in theaters on the reg until 2014.
Yeah.
History. Blah, 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 blah. 20.
Yeah.
It was in the. El Capitan Theater in L.A. for the premiere of Brave in June of 2012.
And I purchased...
It saw a limited release in about 25 installations that year, increased to 300 in 2013, and it's in up to 7,800 now in 2020, or up to 2023,
yeah,
in 2023.
Yeah, I got my invoice out. I bought it in 2016.
Yep. So in 2016, Power was the first television show natively mixed and broadcast in Atmos for its third season, though in the same year, Game of Thrones upmixed their previous 5.1 presentations for the Blu-ray reissue.
That's right.
Which I bought.
Yeah,
so me too. That was all at 20. So 2016 was probably when we got it at home. I probably got mine in December of 2015, January of 2016.
Yeah, I bought mine in February.
Probably got my Onkyo.
I bought it from Valor Electronics February 16, 2016.
Yeah, so I know I got mine like right after Christmas. So it was either the last week of the year or the beginning of January.
So it's actually what, 8-9 years?
Yeah.
Right? So, so it's time. I think it's time. I mean, it's still doing a good job, you know? It's still fine, you know, but I'm
looking. So you don't have DTSX on that?
Yeah, it has DTSX.
On that?
Yeah. It has DTSX.
That didn't exist then.
Well, the original one came out as the 8802.
Oh, okay.
And then they made the 8802A, and that's the one that added the Atmos and the DTSX.
DTSX.
And it also
added DTSX.
And it also has the other thing, the God.
Yeah, it has the Aural 3D.
Aural 3D as well. But yeah, that you have to purchase separately.
Yeah, yeah.
On that. So, yeah, it's still pretty current as far as its features, but...
Right.
I wouldn't mind getting the new Marantz, the AV10. That might be an upgrade. And of course, I got to get
what I want. The AV10. It's like if I, you know,
that's pricey. That's pricey up there too. That's like $8,000. That process.
$8,000. Yeah.
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 It's up there.
But it does. I mean, it has great processing for that. I need for the room I'm doing. I want more speakers. than what the AV10 can do, but I might have to just live with that for now because there's no way I'm getting to a Storm or a Trinov yet.
Yeah, it does at least the 6 channels up in the ceiling, right?
Yeah, I can do 6. I think you could do like 15 channels.
Yeah.
So you can do 6 and then your sides, but I wanted 2 sides, 1 for each of the rows, 6 across the top. That way but have it mapped properly, right? And then I know everybody, it's audio only. Nelson's shaking his head.
Like, oh my like, goodness.
You don't need all that. You don't need it, but you can, it's when it's done right. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's done with a Trinov or a Storm.
I just can't get over the fact that your rears and your surrounds have more channels than your fronts. It's like, doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, okay. But then I'm coming from,
you know why?
The old days, and I'm coming from ProLogic, you know, so it's a little different.
Or surround.
You know? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But the reason is because the fronts, everybody is pretty much getting relatively the same, because when you hear stuff from the front, everybody's, you know, no matter where you're sitting, like distance away, it's relatively the same. But stuff coming from behind, if I'm sitting closer to it because it's an ambience thing, you'd rather have like, all right, like say the side surround for that first row is going to play to that where I can barely hear it. But by the time the sound comes up the room, it's going to get mapped appropriately. And when I do have to hear it, it'll map correctly
in the rear,
you know what I mean, in the rear, and then wrap around. That's what the Trinovs and the Storms, their processing is so good that it doesn't ruin it for anybody. It enhances it for everybody in the room,
right.
Whereas the front of the room, all of these receivers can do the front of the room the same way. It's like left, right, center. You just basically set your audio level for each of them, mm-hmm. and you're off and running. But you need great processing to get that many speakers to make a great experience for one person or all the people.
All the people, yeah. I saw an image that I'm going to see if I can show this to you. Look at this. I don't know if you're going to be able to see it. Let me see if I could show this to you on the thing. Look at the mics for that calibration. Let's
see. Oh, yeah.
That's a turn-off system.
Yeah.
How many mics do you see there?
Yeah, I can't count.
I was like, holy shit, look at all those mics.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's too much.
It's like, well, I mean, okay.
But then if that's how they're going to calibrate it, that's fine. But it's like, it's funny because talking with people that have Trinovs, talking with, you know, Shane, his Trinov, and listening to people, listening to the Trinov engineers, it's like, what's nice about that is, the more seating positions you calibrate your room for, the less quality you get in the primary position.
That's right.
Right?
So
because it's a piece of pie.
Why would I sacrifice that though?
Well, that's what's nice about the Trinov and the Storms. You can calibrate it to every seat in the room so that when you fill the room, it's going to sound fantastic to all the people in the room. But you can also have it calibrate. All right, it's just me. Boom. Setting. Done. It knows. There you go. And it's just calibrated to that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So you don't have to choose.
Right.
And then these systems, I can't remember where I heard it, they know how many people are in the room. There's a way that they can tell, like, okay, there's only this many people in the room. The system knows.
That's unbelievable.
And and it's like, I can't remember how they did it. It wasn't tactile. It wasn't like they knew the seat. It was like, I don't know if it was, I can't remember what it was, but was it Ben? Might have been Ben Goff. And he was the one that described it, like, it'll know, like, when you get into the room, it's like this many people are in the room. So it just knows automatically what to do.
Yeah.
I was like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So there's, when you get up into higher systems like that, they can set stuff up like that.
I would love to hear, properly calibrated Trinov, because the amount of subwoofers too that some of these systems have, it's just unbelievable to me. It's like, I mean, I feel like the bass, even with 2 sometimes could be pretty aggressive. I'm not a bass head. I remember back in the 90s when Circuit City was out and these guys would be with the car audios and they would put the bass up really loud that everything shakes. I don't really care about that. Like that doesn't do anything. That distracts more than than anything for me. I would like to hear a system that has like that, the subwoofers in the front, the subwoofers in the back, and then that, what that big old subwoofer, like the one Tom, what's his name? Todd had that.
Todd. Yeah. The infrasonic.
I would love to hear something like that just so I could experience it. Just to see how I feel about it, because I can't tell you right now that I do or do not like it because I've never experienced it.
Yeah.
But it would be something to experience, you know.
That, and again, that's something like, did they have that at M-Wave this year? I don't know if they had.
You had it at CES, I think you talked about
it. Yeah, CD, I've experienced it a few times. Like last year I had it. There were a few rooms that had Trinov this year that were running the, what is it? Wave
motion. Wave stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what it's just ridiculously accurate everywhere in the room. And what they, and you run, and you only need, I think what they were saying is like, you can do it with four in a, you know, that size, in a smaller room, you can run four. And basically what it is it's like, it's noise canceling. So like the wave comes through, the front speakers are pushing the sound, the back speakers are absorbing it. So you're not getting, you're getting a proper bass wave. Like if you were in an open field, right? Where the bass hits you and just keeps going. Whatever they're doing, it's like they're making it so that it's canceling out without having, basically, you know, I've literally heard the engineers from Trinov say, you can do the same thing with good room treatment
and four subs.
But like, you don't need a Trinov to do this. It just takes a crap load of room treatments to do this. So what they're saying is like, but this way here is with room treatments and this, it's even more, that much more accurate. It's great. You can get great bass. You get great, because the idea of bass is like, it's not supposed to be so overpowering. It's supposed to be quick hitting, done, clean, and over.
Done.
It's not like boom.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that most people like it, when you have that and it resonates that long, that's the room resonating. That's not the explosion. And when you do get that, when you do get a properly set up room and you do, then if there is any resonating sound, it's in the track. Like if you'll have like the bass wave in, that Turtles.
The
Ninja Turtles scene that we do it, that you hear boom. Well, that's in there. And it's stuff like that that you want to rattle, but a quick explosion or a gunshot should be bang, done, over, not bang, you know, and just hang there, because the longer it hangs, it's taking away from all the other sounds you're supposed to be experiencing.
Yeah. And how do you think, if you're a two channel music listening guy and you have a system like that, how do you think the two channel, how would it sound for music? Something like that, you think?
I don't think there would be much of a call for it, because I don't think music doesn't run the bass as deep.
Yeah.
It doesn't run it as deep, as long. I mean, you got your drums, I think what I'm experiencing now with just go back to what we love, like Star Wars and that opening scene, the orchestra music and stuff. And you listen to that or listen to anything on iTunes with what we have. It's like you go to a concert and it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Right? Because a drum or even a bass, right? Like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
It's like it doesn't resonate as long. It's not as loud. It doesn't do the stuff. It's not the LFE isn't as engaged, I think, with music as it is with concerts.
And you did hear
movies.
You heard that at the show, right? That system.
Which one? The Trinov.
Yeah. That room that's a special room that they had made, with Trinov and yep. And they had big screen. How did everything sound in there for you? Did it?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It sounds awesome. I will say, like I said, I came out of the room going, it's ridiculously accurate around the room. It's, the bass is so tight, right? Is the best way to put it. So tight, so accurate. But I wouldn't spend the 20 something to 30 something thousand dollars
for
because you can do it with the room. I'm not as far off in my room. It's better than my room, but it's not 20 to 30,000.
I get you.
From my room.
Yeah.
Right. It's for that one thing alone, because you can do it without it.
Yeah.
And get damn close to it without it, I should say.
In that room, was the ceiling covered and everything or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a sealed room. I mean, you could still like in the quiet times, you could still hear the outside of the room because you're in a, you know, convention hall or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it was, you know,
yeah.
it's an amazing experience, yeah. But I don't think it's worth just for that feature alone. I don't think it's worth the, you know,
yeah,
$20,000 to $30,000.
Yeah, if you picked up two PB17 Ultras, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Exactly. Or even in mine, like four of them, and you just be like, "Oh, okay,
yeah.
Here we go."
Yeah,
and it's in that good room treatments. It's like I want a Trinoff. I want a store. I want that processing, but not for that reason.
Yeah,
I want it for the proper processing for my speakers.
Right.
That to me would be. That's where I would, I'm like, to me, that's worth it.
And you're still considering the SVS for your main speakers in your new theater?
Oh, yeah. It's not even a consideration. I'm just saving up.
Yeah.
Well, eventually I'll have to save up when I get to that part. But but the way things are going right now, they'll probably be on sale because the next edition will be on. Like, crap.
Yeah. They were giving me a good deal on my 16s.
Oh yeah,
on the trade in, but I said, man, 16s are fine.
Yeah.
So that trade in, they do pretty. They give you a pretty decent amount. So
yeah,
something to consider for sure.
Yeah. Well, I won't be trading anything in because I'm going to take these speakers and use them in my podcast studio.
Oh, okay.
The new podcast, you've been in my attic, so yeah. You know that the podcast studio is going to be up there. And basically, since I'm not going to have this house anymore, I'm taking and remaking this theater as my podcast studio in the attic.
Oh, okay.
So cool. Basically going to do that and redo, like, you know, projector, paint the walls the same, displays, everything. Everything's going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Be a little bit more modern on insulation and sound, you know, mm-hmm. sound isolation. But the inside of the room, I want to kind of basically, you know, homage this one.
Right.
You know, so everything will come here, go for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it also, instead of maybe the chairs that I have, it'll be like, I'll have a desk for podcasting. So I can screen up there. I can host up there. I can do stuff up there, but it'll be that room.
Hey, that's cool. Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And I have the space to do it because it's. You know,
yeah.
You know, to put a room within a room up in that attic.
Oh yeah,
attic.
Plenty of space up there.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It'll actually have a higher ceiling.
Really?
Up there. Yeah.
It peaks.
Yeah,
out.
My basement in this. Oh, my basement here. The ceilings are like 7.5.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to build to that, so I had to come down onto that.
Uh-huh.
The attic is like 6.5 feet tall.
Wow.
At its height. So
yeah,
I'll be able to have a slightly higher ceiling in there.
Yeah, that's going to look nice. That's all going to look nice once it's all set up. That's cool.
That'll be fun.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, DJ, it's been a long one, this one, huh?
Yeah. Hey, you know, we can chat.
Yeah.
We've chatted before just on the phone.
Take
a while. So.
Yeah.
Sure. Great catching up.
Yeah.
Great catching
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. So yeah, let me know. I mean, if you get anybody who gets in contact with you and wants any of that stuff that I mentioned.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, if you heard earlier, what is it again? People have heard it earlier. It's
the Kaleidoscape Alto.
Alto.
Rotel amp. The two channel amp. And also, the Curo TV.
The Curo TV. Yeah. Curo. What size is that?
55.
55 Curo.
Yeah.
That's a museum. Those things are awesome.
Yeah, it's still
55 inch.
Yeah, it still looks great.
Damn.
You know,
good box. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, awesome box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. All right. Well,
thanks, buddy.
You're very welcome, right. Man. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back later. And I think we're later. I don't know how the schedule goes, but hey, regardless, until next time, you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.